Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Greg Henry, curator of the Page to Stage New Play Festival at the Kennedy Center.
And what are the dates on it, Greg?
Oh, it's September 3 and 5, so it's a Saturday and a Monday of Labor Day weekend.
So it's coming up here really soon?
Yeah, really fast.
All right. In case any of our listeners, which there'll probably be some that have never heard of this, how many years have you done this, and what exactly is it?
This is the 15th anniversary at the Kennedy Center. 16 years ago, Molly Smith at Arena Stage hosted a great conference called Who Needs New Plays?
Okay.
And at the end of that conference, everybody in town basically said, well, we do.
Everybody.
Everybody does. And so there was a desire amongst the theater companies to kind of keep the momentum that Molly and Arena Stage got started. And they came to the Kennedy Center and they said, you know, Kennedy Center is sort of neutral territory for all the theater companies in town. Mm-hmm. So we decided to host an event that's a free event for all the theater companies in Washington and Baltimore and Annapolis, and it's a wide circle.
So the larger D.C. area.
The larger D.C. area that care about new writing and care about playwrights and plays, and they care about what's new.
Nice.
So it's grown. It's grown. This year we have just over 50 readings and presentations.
Wow.
50.
That's awesome.
It's a remarkable.
How many submissions do you get? Like, what did you whittle down a larger number, 250?
No.
Okay.
The curation process, I mean, I'm called curator, but the curation process is just keep my eyes open, my ears open, and who's doing interesting work?
Yeah.
And what young company has revealed themselves at the Fringe Festival or at the Source Festival? And, hey, do you want to do something at Page to Stage? Because also, who's stretching the definition of new theater and who's making things that are interesting. That's something that we're interested in as well.
So have any of these plays that we're going to see at Page to Stage, have any of them been performed before at Capitol Fringe? Okay,
no.
So it's all first-time stuff.
It's all first-time stuff. Okay. And the company themselves may have sort of first burst on the scene in the Fringe Festival, but the work that we're seeing is sort of the first time aired in public. So it's a great opportunity for the playwrights, or let's call it the creative squadron. It's a great chance for them to get their new work in front of an audience, get audience feedback, sort of test it out, see what needs trims, see what needs a lot more rewrite. But I mean, it's a great testing ground.
Yeah.
But it's also a great place to celebrate, just double down on how we care about theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See who's out there on the cutting edge and
what
new voices are out there.
And it's kind of shocking to us. I mean, 15 years ago when we started this, we thought Labor Day weekend, okay, who's going to come inside on the last holiday weekend of the summer? We're nuts. 3,500 people later, we realized there's something here. Definitely support here. 3,500 people showing up for readings, open rehearsals, sort of the equivalent of an open mic night.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty remarkable, the support that the D.C. community shows for theater and for playwrights.
Yeah.
And that just the curiosity factor. They love what's new and they want to see something before anyone else gets a chance.
Yeah. I'm sure you have the whole lineup already, you know, ready for this year. But let's say maybe for next year or ongoing, if someone's listening, let's say there's like a budding playwright out here. How exactly would they contact you or do you have to contact them?
Well, from the beginning, it's been about a theater company that wants to support a writer.
Okay. I got
so it's not been sort of an independent submission process. It's a company, and even if it's a fledgling company, even if it's a group of students who have just graduated from, you know, U of M or wherever, they want to get together and support a peer, support a colleague.
Gotcha.
Or it's a more established regional theater in the area or something like that. But it's really based on we want to be part. And so by wanting to, having the desire and wanting to show off the work for the community, they're invited. They're part of the program.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any, you know, success stories that come to mind? People that have gone on to, you know, be renowned playwrights that started at Page to Stage?
Oh, yeah, quite a few. And we have quite a few renowned playwrights actually living in Washington and working in the Washington, D.C. community. Renee Calarco. Alison Curran, Ken Ludwig, John Strand, Bob Bartlett, Gwydion Sullivan. These are all people that have had works from the beginning, from year one, after 15 years at Page to Stage. And they keep returning because I think they see it as a good chance to grow as a writer, to connect with audiences, and to share.
Yeah. Talk about how it can sort of be, I mean, you mentioned these people that, you know, the list on and on and on
of
the you know, success stories that keep coming back. Talk about how it, you know, for a young writer, maybe that just got into Page to Stage for the first time or first or second time, how this can be a great sort of, you know, not only trial and error, but like a networking event for them with all these great, you know, creative minds in the same place.
It really is. And this year, actually, we're going to try to make good use of the networking opportunity, as we've got this huge event space in the roof terrace level of the Kennedy Center called the Atrium. And it's enormous. And we're actually kind of converting it into a sort of a speakeasy lounge, bar, a food area with a performance space where people, if they want to get up and share some work, they can do that. But otherwise, it's a chance to really just congregate and talk to audiences and talk to each other and, you know, pick the brain of a more experienced playwright, something like that. So that's a change this year. And we're also going to have a big karaoke party there on Saturday night that all interested persons are invited to play with.
Nice. Yeah. So that's sort of the mingling room And then what actual stage do the actual productions go on?
Is it it's not good radio, so showing you the chart would not make sense. But
is the Opera House? Is it the Millennium Stage?
No, it's both Millennium Stages. It's the lounges on either side of the different the special events room on either side of the Opera House.
Okay.
Over by the Bird Room at the Eisenhower Theater. It's literally every nook and cranny in the Kennedy Center. It's just wedged. And we actually this year we're using the roof terrace restaurant too.
Perfect. Yeah. There's going to be playwrights and audience members just pouring out of every little crack of the Kennedy Center.
Right. and it's always exciting to me because, you know, the building is so beautiful and the white marble and the red carpet.
Yeah.
But it's great to see young artists and even more established artists kind of sitting on the steps with a script in their hand, getting ready to share something with the audience. It's a nice feeling because the place gets overwhelmed by artists. It's really terrific.
You mentioned such a great space, and it has so many renowned, you know, shows that come in. What was it, Phantom and all this stuff. But talk about why the new voices and a festival like this, those new voices are really the lifeblood of what this is. I mean, there wouldn't be, you know, these big shows that we know of that are coming if they didn't, you know, get tried out somewhere first.
Precisely.
Yeah.
A playwright, a creative team, needs the equation to be made complete. Mm-hmm. And that completion is an audience and getting live feedback in the live event of theater. And I think playwrights have taken advantage of that. Most companies that participate want to show off the respect they have for a writer and maybe even the love they have for a writer. But also companies make good use of the festival in that they, back on their home turf, in their own rehearsal rooms, their own rehearsal spaces, they're workshopping the play, and then Page to Stage becomes sort of the culmination of that workshop. So they've kind of rolled it into their day-to-day function of making theater in this community. And I think that's been terrific.
What are some of the regional theaters that you're talking about? The play companies.
Forum Theater, Mosaic Theater Company, First Draft, which is a new generation version of Charter Theater, which was one of the founding theater companies involved. Young companies like Brave Soul Collective, Initiative Student Theater, so we're getting younger and younger playwrights and younger and younger performers. New SAS, The Welders, which is a playwrights collective here in Washington, D.C., and now we're on the second generation of The Welders. Monumental Theater Company, Crash of Rhinos, Venus Theater Company, who's been with us from year one, Deb Randall's company from up in Laurel.
Wow.
They do only plays by women. And they've been with us year after year after year after year, and they've found great value in connecting with the audiences here in D.C. and at the audience. So it just goes on. And what's great, too, is we have a company, Arts on the Horizon, that's for baby theater, theater for infants.
Oh, wow.
Is trying to get the kids engaged in that live performance experience when they're still in mom and dad's arms.
Yeah.
And they've had great, great success. And this is a new, I think, a very important trend to get kids to start engaging their kids' imaginations.
Yeah. That not only from the theater side, not only are you guys hooking them early, it's actually helping their creative, developmental, and communication skills.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you hear about the Mozart effect or anything like that, but this is, they're engaging kids with ideas, with sound, with color, with, I think, values, generosity, and fun, getting together and having fun, you know, so.
It's great.
It's fantastic.
The only thing they can't do is the standing ovation because they need to learn to walk first. But
Right.
That's awesome. All right, well, let's go into some of the individual shows then, if you don't mind. What are some of the things, if our listeners come out, you know, give them an example of maybe a show or two they could see?
No, you see, this is like, who's your favorite child without a 50?
Well, we have all the time in the world, man.
Well, here are some things that I think are important, too. There is a distinguished graduate playwriting program in town at Catholic University. Uh-huh. And there's an MFA playwriting program, and it's led by John Klein, who is a distinguished playwright in his own right. And they've taken, annually, they've taken the Page to Stage Festival as a chance to give a public airing to something that they're going to be producing, whether it be their thesis project on campus.
I see.
And their students have gotten a lot of recognition lately, and they're starting to get a more and more, let's call it, throbbing national profile, which is I think a very important thing.
Cool.
We've got a couple of spoken word, I'll call it spoken word, maybe even leaning towards hip hop theater.
Oh, cool.
Work with kids in town, whether it's Fresh Ink, where they're getting kids to express their lives through text, through poetry, through workshops in collaboration with the group. And those kids are showcasing their work at Page to Stage again this year. And it's been past 5 years. But it seems like we're getting more and more companies with that in mind, with engaging kids in literature of their own creation at the festival, which is really
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I think so. We've got a real great, funky, fierce company, Pinky Swear Productions, led by Karen Lang. Pinky Swear will be back again this year. Words, Beats, and Life is another company that's again, dealing with kids and text of their own creations, like outside of school. This isn't school stuff. This is after school programming. Kennedy Center has been host to VSA, which is the national and international organization dealing with artists and disability. It was founded by Gene Kennedy Smith, the late president's brother. And it's just trying to make sure that disabled artists are recognized and celebrated. And there's been a program, part of VSA for years, called the VSA Playwright Discovery Program. And it's a nationwide call for high school kids and younger to write about disability issues, whether they're writing about a family member, whether they're writing about themselves, whether they're writing about a friend and trying to use, you know, the dramatic form to tell the story of the disability experience. But it's a contest of sorts where they submit, and then the winning playwrights, high school kids, are brought to the Kennedy Center, and we engage a group of professional actors to present their plays at the KC. And so I think it's a good experience for them, and we get more experienced playwrights to do workshops with them. Plus they get, you know, they get to say that their play was done at the Kennedy Center. So that's nice. So we're assembling them from as far as California, Maine, New Jersey. I think I can say this, and I think I can say this in keeping privacy issues concerns. A group of writers are given a contract to work with groups of students to write about these issues. And one of the contractors is working in a juvenile detention center. And apparently the class really grabbed hold of this project and the idea of this project. And one of the winning plays is coming out of this juvenile detention center.
Oh, wow.
And it's a pair of playwrights. And we're showcasing their work.
That's awesome.
And we're doing it in collaboration with Howard University. And it's I'm pretty thrilled by that. By this is that this is some this is a chance to kids to talk about something that was grappling their circle of friends, let's say. And they had a great writing teacher to get them to express it, to get to talk about dramatic form and what form should we put it in, to use the language that they're used to using, which is, it turns out in this, to be the language of hip-hop.
Right.
And they're basically talking about a friend and a friend that's going through particular struggles. So we're showcasing this work.
That's awesome.
This is going to be part of it. And what's really great is that the playwrights are now finished at the detention center, but their class, who is still in the detention center, are coming down to be here to
see the work.
So I think that's pretty damn thrilling.
But that's what art's supposed to be, right? That's the creative outlet and the just perfect.
That's perfect. But I think particularly the outcome of it is that what could have been an academic exercise, I've got to go to a writing class, turned out to be something that where a group of guys are showing support for each other, dealing with an issue. You know, the issue that the play grapples with is basically ADD, and it's not.
You got to come to see it.
You got to come to see it.
And now they're at the Kennedy Center.
And they're going to be at the Kennedy Center.
That's so great.
Right.
And then who knows what doors that will open or creativity that will spark in the other kids that are there.
Well, who knows? You know, just what, but by bumping up against other young artists and, you know, seeing some of the other kids, mostly from the D.C. community and the Baltimore community, who are using language, who are actually expressing themselves in a dramatic form or a performance form, who knows what step that's going to encourage?
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. It's pretty exciting.
That's awesome. I think that's one of the coolest things about this so far. I mean, so you said we have some spoken word, some hip-hop stuff that sounds serious. I assume, like, what all genres are there? I assume there's stuff that'll make us laugh, make us
everything.
Cry. Make
Oh, yeah, everything.
Yeah.
WIT, Washington Improv Theater, has been with us every year, and they workshop a new idea that they're playing with us, playing with us. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of comedy. There's a lot of serious stuff, and I think people are particularly interested in more serious issues since we're in an election year.
We're in serious times.
Yeah, we're in serious times, and it's showing in some of the titles and some of the subject matters.
That's an interesting subject or topic. Do you find that, you know, because you've been doing this 15 years, over those 15 years, do you find that sort of the work that gets submitted and staged reflects the time and, you know, sort of you can kind of read the cultural mindset in a way?
I think you can. The zeitgeist of the nation is reflected through its artists. And I don't know if I said that right, but I mean, I think that.
Well, let's see. 15 years ago would have been right around 9/11.
Right.
Was that reflected back then in some of the stories or?
Not immediately.
Right.
But yeah. But yeah.
Okay. And so you've seen sort of the country's issues reflected through that.
Oh, sure.
Back and forth throughout.
And it's the full range too. It's not, people aren't just harping on one thing. I mean, you can, if you want to see plays about the Black Lives Matter movement, if you want to see plays about violence in the streets, I can point to maybe five plays. If you want to see plays that are simply mindless, let's have some fun, let's be silly for a couple of hours, I can point to 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 plays during the course of this thing. But if you want to be challenged, if you want to be confronted with uncomfortable truths,
harsh realities,
well, let's talk. I've got a schedule here and I can point you to the right place. You know, and I think.
Yeah.
I think anyone that wants to search by theme, they're in the mood to be challenged this weekend, the schedule on the Kennedy Center website can point them in the right direction.
So you have a whole schedule up on the website.
Everything's
all
up.
The different shows.
Including brief descriptions, log lines of what's being done. And yeah. You know, if you think about 50 presentations and yet at least 10 of those presentations have multiple writers where they're combining to do monologues on subject X or monologues on subject Y. It's a rich, rich menu, I think.
And not only are you highlighting these, you know, these budding playwrights, but it's also giving work to a lot of local actors too to fill these things. So.
Yeah, exactly. And it's terrific to me where you see some of the great lions of the DC theater community, the most experienced, you know, the DC stars.
Yeah.
And you also see actors who are just graduating, actors who are still in school.
Right.
You've got some actors who are in high school who are being part of the festival and rubbing shoulders and bumping. And there's another networking opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody talks. And if you see someone really interesting, you might say, you know, in that play that you're doing a couple months down the road, you might consider this kid who was so.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It's perfect for that.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
I would imagine, are most of these shows sort of, you know, costume-wise and everything, very stripped down,
very
basic,
stripped down.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just basically, are they even holding scripts on stage a lot of times?
All of the time.
Oh, because they're that fresh. They're new.
They're that fresh. And, you know, many of them have gotten rewrites just that morning, or many of them spent the hour beforehand making cuts or putting in edits or something like that.
If you look close enough on stage in the margins, you'll see.
You'll see notes. You will. And in some of the venues that we present these, you're close enough that you're going to be able to see the script looking over some of the actors' shoulders at times.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's all done pretty much in neutral clothing. No sets, no costumes, unless there's a necessary prop, an absolutely necessary prop that they've got to have. But it's kept that simple so the audience's imagination can run as wild as the play wants them to.
So this is theater in its most stripped-down, purest form, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the comment that always strikes me, is when an audience gets, at the end of a great reading, the audience goes, I don't need to see the full production because that was complete for me.
And it's better in my head than it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Which I go, well, yeah, but wait till you see some really fine designers and, you know, let's go all the way with this and see what that does too.
Right.
But that says something about the power of the imagination, and it says something about how intelligent our audiences are, the DC audiences. They're so curious. They're so intellectually on top of things that their imaginations can run wild in a way that just benefits the playwright, benefits the plays, benefits the musicals. I haven't mentioned musicals.
There's a lot of musicals
here,
too?
There are new musicals,
awesome.
Too. There's a new Peter Pan twist. That's how. There's
nice.
A couple of rock and roll pieces, headbanging stuff, new headbanging musicals. So, I mean,
Wow. We got serious social commentary. We got mindless comedy entertainments. We got musicals. We got everything.
We got everything.
That's so cool. Give me sort of a sense of how this sucker's grown for over 15 years. Like, how you said there's 500 productions this year?
No, 50.
50.
50. Holy smokes.
Holy
500.
Smokes. So you said that there's 50 this year.
Right.
What was it like the first couple years? You know, give me a sense of how it's evolved.
I think it was I'm guessing here. I think it was about 20, between 25 and 30 to start. And then everyone said, well, wait a minute, this is a free event, and they attracted that many people. We should be part of that. And they expressed interest, and they were invited, and they showcased their work. What's interesting is a lot of the theater companies that were part of Page to Stage from the beginning, the major companies in town, due to their schedules, is there are more and more productions getting ready to open. What used to be, you know, the final weekend of the holiday is now kind of a key tech weekend time.
Okay, I see.
And so we don't have some of the companies who were with us from the start, they're not with us anymore. And yet, with the growth of the Source Festival, with the growth of Capital Fringe, we're getting a lot of young companies. We're getting more and more playwrights who want outlets. And so there are a lot of new companies who are coming, and the Baltimore community, the Annapolis community, a wider circle. They want to play too.
Yeah. So. They want to turn in the sandbox.
Right. Precisely.
Awesome.
Precisely.
Well, just sort of wrapping up here, remind us the dates, and you said tickets are free, you said?
Everything's free. It's Saturday, September 3rd, and Monday, September 5th, Labor Day itself.
Labor Day. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Come see the labor of love of all these playwrights.
Right.
Cool. I guess in closing, if our listeners, they've heard this interview and they're saying, that sounds pretty cool, but maybe they're still on the fence, not sure, what's the final pitch? Why should they come out?
Well, if you come, and you should, you have this schedule in front of you, and at any given time, you probably have 8 different things that are starting.
Right.
And it's making that choice. It's the fun of making that choice. And the idea of if it's not hooking you, if it's not engaging you, you just go to something else.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own event. people used to joke in the early days, vote with your feet.
That's true.
If it's not engaging, if it's not grabbing you, move on to something else, because there's 7 other things that might.
Yeah.
I think I like it. I like it. The better way of looking at it is people going, I don't know what to pick. There's so much interesting going on.
Yeah.
So,
an embarrassment of riches.
An embarrassment of riches, exactly.
It's better to have too much than not enough. So
precisely.
There you go.
Precisely.
There you go. See, it's a little of everything. So come out to the Kennedy Center Saturday, September 3rd, and Monday, September 5th. What better way to spend your Labor Day than with Paige DeSage at Kennedy Center? Thanks for coming out, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Thanks. Take care.